Thank you. But seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such a contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be weary and faint in your minds. And then also, if you would quickly flip a few books back to the book of Luke, chapter number 9 and verse 23. I want to read one verse there. I had a great dream this morning, Brother C. I was running, and I didn't have any pain in my feet. It was a beautiful dream, all because I had done one exercise. and you wonder what that has to do with anything. Maybe I'll weasel that into a message here in a little bit. Luke chapter 9 and verse 23. And he said to them, let's all read that out loud together. And he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. And I have been reading to you this morning out of the King James Version of the Bible. I love the King James Version of the Bible. It is a poetic masterpiece, and is a very written and very poetic, actually written historically in Shakespearean language, just the same exact language that the Shakespeare's plays were written in. It's a very beautiful book, and it just reads so nicely to me. But you will hear me today as I begin to preach, quoting from many different, more modern translations. The New International Version, New American Standard Bible, the New Living Translation, some of the few that I favor. You will hear me speaking from those translations as well. And the reason why is because it's helpful to hear things in modern day English as well. Yes. Amen?
Amen?
And it helps for our understanding of the Word of God. And so I just wanted to let you know that I will be doing it as I preach today. Lord Jesus, we are so thankful for your allowing us to be together, to call ourselves by your name, and to call upon your name. And we just are thankful today for this Christmas season and all of the family time that is set aside during this time of the year. Our bosses give us off at work, and we even set aside church times to be home with our families, and where we may be running and doing and working like we normally would. We'll take these times and these extra days this week and next week to be with our family. Help us, oh God, to enjoy those times. Thank you, God, for the privileges that you have afforded us as believers in this hour. We are going to preach. The title of our message today is Cross People. Cross People. And we are taking our scripture text from Hebrews chapter 12 and beginning with verse 1. And we are going to first of all, bring our first point and message here today, and that is something that we have preached to you many times before, but it's very simple. We are not alone.
That's right.
It says in Hebrews chapter 12, wherefore seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. There are many, many, many millions and no doubt tens of millions and hundreds of millions of Christians who have sat on pews just like us and who have been through similar trials just like us, but they have managed to hold on to and hang on to their faith in God, and they have lived their lives for God and not turned aside to sin and other things and have died and went on to their reward. We are not the first ones to travel this road, and pray to God we're not the last ones to travel this road. Sometimes a difficult road, but we are not alone on this road. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13 in the New International Version, it says, no temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. The things that we're going through, everybody's going through them. Don't you hate it when the preacher repeats himself and says amen to himself all the time? How many hate when the preacher does that? There's a solution to that. You know what that solution is, Brother Bill?
Amen.
Woo! Ah, come on now. There is no temptation that has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, He will provide. He will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. You're not the only one going through what you go through. Oh, no, you're not. You're not alone today. It says in 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 8 and 9, in the New American Standard Bible, I had mentioned earlier, be of sober spirit, be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Let me tell you something today. The devil's not picky about who he devours. If he can't get the preacher, he'll get the preacher's wife. If he can't get the preacher's wife, he'll get the preacher's kid. If he can't get the preacher's kid, he'll get the Sunday school director. If he can't get the Sunday school director, he'll get the worship leader. If he can't get the worship leader, he'll get some of the teachers. If he can't get the teachers, he'll get the ushers. He's not picky today about who he attacks. But the Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 9, but resist him firm in your faith, knowing that the same experiences of suffering are being accomplished by your brethren who are in the world. There are brothers and sisters today, just like us, sitting on pews, just like this, all over the world that are struggling with the same things that yes. you're struggling with today.
Hallelujah.
We're not alone.
Thank you, Jesus.
Aren't you glad to know that you're not the only one going through what you're going through?
Right.
Aren't you glad to know that people that are going through what you're going through right now have already gone through that other people have already gone through and made it out on the other side?
Yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah.
I feel the Holy Ghost just now. I said, aren't you glad to know that there are other people that have went through exactly what you're going through now and have come out on the other side? You are not alone, Brother Kevin.
Thank you, Jesus.
1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 26. I should have my marker board up here, shouldn't I? Adult Bible class. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse, you just sharpen up your pencil. And heat up the ink in your pen because you're going to be writing a lot before I get done. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 26 and 27 in the New American Standard Bible. It says, and if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. And if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. And now you are Christ's body and individually members of it. You are not a foot hopping around by yourself, some disembodied body part hanging out there on the clothesline to dry. You are not in some formaldehyde glass experimental jar for people to come around and look at. Boy, that's an interesting looking color eyeball. The Bible says we are all members one of another. No matter what you go through in this life as a believer, every single person in this church is going to be affected and feel the pain that you feel. And no matter how many victories that you have in this life, you're not going to rejoice by yourself because every member in this body is going to rejoice with you. We are not alone in this walk with God, but we have every member of this church and every person and every member of this body of believers in the Jesus name Pentecostal church and in the greater church of the Lord Jesus Christ across this country and across this world. We are members of the Lord Jesus body, and when there's pain in the body, everybody feels it. And when there's pleasure in the body, everybody feels it. You're not alone in this walk with the Lord. You are surrounded by a cloud of witnesses.
Thank you, Jesus. Yes.
John chapter 14. 14 and verse 18, Jesus said to his disciples, I, in the New International Version, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. I'm here to tell you something today. You are not alone in this fight that you are in. Jesus said, the Word of God said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I will go with you to the end of the age. Said in the book of Psalm chapter 23 and verse 4. Can I read that in the King James Version? Yea, though I go through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because I'm not alone. For thou art with me, and thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. It doesn't matter if it feels like everybody that you know and depend upon has forsaken you. Hallelujah, your God and your Savior will never the music by yourself. But our Savior is making intercession. The Spirit of God is making intercession for us with groans that cannot be uttered. Hallelujah. You are not in this thing alone, but your God is ever by your side. He is your shield. He is your buckler. He is your real reward. He's got the front. He's got the side. And he's got the back. He is your great reward. Everything that you need. Jesus, you've got more than anybody else in this world has. If you don't have anything but Jesus, you've got enough of companionship to keep you all the way to the other side. Amen. When we get to that glorious place called heaven, we're not alone. Can somebody lift your voice right now and praise the Lord for this wonderful truth that we have heard today? We are not alone.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
But it's easy to get discouraged. Can somebody say amen to that?
Amen.
How can you tell that people are discouraged? Well, it's not very hard. You run into them all the time. Sometimes you run into them at church. And you know, they say that we're people of the cross, but sometimes I think we're just cross people. When you run into somebody that's cross, what do you know? You know about that person. They're going through some difficult times. They're struggling with some things. It may be a real big bad thing. It may not be that much. We go through trials and tribulations and tests. We go through sickness and disease and weakness in the body. We struggle in relationships with spouses and children and neighbors and everybody else. Sometimes it's difficult on the job to go through the things that we have to go through. We've got bills to pay, annoying neighbors, kids, parents, spouses. So many things can go wrong in our lives to discourage us and steal our joy. It's easy to get discouraged, but I like what Solomon said in Proverbs chapter 24 and verse 10 in the New Living Translation. He said, if you fail under pressure, your strength is too small. Galatians chapter 6 verse 9 in the New International Version says, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Oh yes, if we do not give up, there is a harvest to come. Oh, in Revelation chapter 2 and verse 3 in the English Standard Version, the prophet spoke as he was moved by the Holy Ghost, and the Lord God spoke and said, I know, to the church at Ephesus, I know you are enduring patiently, and I know that you are bearing up for my name's sake, and you have not grown weary. Oh, it's easy to get discouraged. Everybody's doing it. Everybody's cross. People biting off other people's heads. People snapping and going off at the least thing. But I'm here to tell you something today, church. We're not alone in this fight. And we can take courage that the Lord is with us. And we may get tired. We may get discouraged. And we may have to endure many things patiently. But never, ever, ever let yourself get so discouraged that you want to quit. Never let yourself get so weary that you want to give up. You got to keep running the race with patience. You got to run the race with patience, endurance.
Yeah. Hallelujah.
Now come on now. Lay aside the sins and lay aside the things that trip us up and cause us to stumble. Lay aside the sins. Lay aside the weights and patiently endure what God has called us to go through. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 23 in the English Standard Version, talking about Jesus, it says, when he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly. To him who judges justly. Instead of being cross with our children and our family, instead of being cross with people that God has sent into our path for us to shine a light to, we need to find in the Holy Spirit and within ourselves the ability to endure. The ability to endure. The ability to persist. Instead of being cross people, we need to become people of the cross. Amen. The writer of Hebrews, we believe, the Apostle Paul said in verse chapter 12, verse 2, that we should look unto Jesus. He's the beginner and the ender of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be weary and faint in your minds. The only way that we're going to make it, the only way that you're going to make it, the only way that I'm going to make it, is we are going to have to, and everybody makes it the same way, we are going to have to fix our eyes on the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are going to have to fix our thoughts on the sufferings and the victory and the death and the burial and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Hebrews, earlier in the book of Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 1, the apostle says, therefore, holy brothers and sisters who share in the heavenly calling, fix your thoughts on Jesus, whom we acknowledge as our apostle and high priest. In Luke chapter 9 and verse 23, as we had read to you earlier, Jesus said, take up your cross and follow me. I believe this morning if more people would take up their cross and follow Jesus, there would be less cross people that we have to deal with. And we wouldn't merely be as cross as we are with the things that we go through if we would just take up our cross and follow him. Because we are called to be cross people, not cross and aggravating and annoyed and irritated and discouraged and defeated and doubtful. We are called to be cross people. We are called to have bruises and calluses and blisters on our shoulders. We are called to carry the cross that the Lord calls us to carry. And we are called to carry it as far and as long as he calls us to carry it. And whatever form or shape, whatever type of wood or tree, whatever design or engineering or architecture that that cross may take, whatever it is that the Lord puts in our path, pick it up, put it on your shoulders, and you'll have a lot less to be cross about.
Thank you, Jesus. Yes. Hallelujah.
In 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 24, the New Living Translation, it says, don't you realize that in a race, everyone runs, but only one person gets the prize. And so the apostle says, so run to win.
That's right. Amen.
Yes. Galatians chapter 5, verse 24, in the New Living Translation, those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to his cross and crucified them there. Let me tell you something, church. I've got a word from the Lord. You are called to be people of the cross. You are called to be a bearer of the cross that Christ lays in your pathway. And Paul later on in the book of Galatians, in his letters to that church in Galatia, he says in chapter 6 and verse 14, "But God forbid, but God forbid that I should glory, save or accept in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified to me, and I unto the world." There are so many people that are looking for prayer, for God to deliver them from pain and from suffering.
Right.
I know it's hot. I know you've been busy. And it feels good to sit down on a pew this morning. Got one innocent truth voice here today. So many times, church, we're trying to find happiness in every other way. So many times we're trying to find satisfaction and joy in every other way. But there is no other way to find joy and happiness in the kingdom except in the cross and through the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no other way for a Christian, amen, to be victorious, to be successful, to be powerful, to be victorious, to be a conqueror, to overcome, and to be triumphant, except in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said, "There is no other way to the Father unless you go through me. I am the door." People, when we go through the cross, and the cross is more than just a tree, it's more than just a muddy stump. The cross is an intersection of this life and the next. The cross is an intersection between the sins and the failures and the weaknesses of mankind, and the future and the glory and the power and the victory of God. The cross is more than just a historical fact or a decoration that you wear on your body or put up somewhere in a church. It's more than just a cross, but it is a crossing. It is a place where you go through. It is a place that you, amen, the Lord, where a door opens up in your life. And we're saying, "God, I don't want to do that." Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, he said, "Father, I don't want to go through that door." He said, "Father, if it's possible, I don't want to drink this cup. But nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done." And the Bible says, "Who for the joy that was set before him." Jesus knew that the only way into the joyous presence of the Father was to go through the cross of Calvary. I want to ask you a question this morning. Are you just a person that's sitting at ease on your laurels? Are you just a person who's stagnating in your faith? Or are you a person who's willing to take up your cross and follow Jesus? Paul said there is a door and great opportunities. But when you go through that door, he said there are many adversaries. Because Jesus dying on Calvary seemed to be the victory of his adversaries. It seemed to be the triumph of hell when Jesus gave up the ghost and said, "It is finished."
Right.
When Jesus took up that cross, and when they nailed him to that tree and he died there at Calvary, he passed through the door of suffering and into the joy and the presence of the Father and the glory of God in heaven. I'm telling you, church, there is no other way. We are cross people. We're not slacker people. We're not lukewarm people. We're called to be cross people. Paul said that I would rather glory in my infirmities so that the power of God may rest upon my life. The presence of God isn't away from suffering and pain, but it is entering in to the sufferings of the Lord Jesus Christ. Despise not the chastening and the discipline of the Lord. I posted on Facebook earlier this week, there's a difference between what God is calling you to and what He's calling you through. Sometimes we We want what God is calling us to, but we refuse to go through what He's calling us to go through, because you can't get what He's calling you to until you go through what He's calling you to go through. But we would never tell a student, Sister Gina, we would never say to a student, oh, well, you don't have to study, you don't have to show up to class, you don't have to do your homework, you don't have to do reports, you don't have to study, you don't even have to take those tests. We would never tell her that. Why? Because we want her to pass and succeed, and we know that she's going to have to put in some hard work. We know there's going to be some late nights and midnight oil burning. We know there's going to be some times when she's confused and frustrated because she doesn't know how to figure out their problem. But we would never think to tell her to give up or let up. We would never tell an athlete, well, just take the summer off. Oh, just keep back and take it easy. You don't have to exercise yourself. You don't have to practice. You just rest and take the summer off. And then next year you can be an Olympic champion. We would never tell anyone to do anything like that. We would never tell an aspiring musician to take their sheet music and lay it under their pillow at night and say, just soak it up by osmosis, and you'll wake up tomorrow a master musician. We would never tell people that. We would tell them, you got to practice, baby. You got to get that thing out and blow it. You got to get that thing out and play it. You got to play it for hours every day before you can ever think to enter into the realm of the experts and those who are professionals in what they do. But when it comes to Christians in the church, oh, you're going through a little trial. Oh, you got to come to church an extra hour, you poor baby doll. There's a great cloud of witnesses that went to church every night of the week.
Right, amen.
And worked a lot longer and a lot harder hours for way, way less money than what we work for today.
Amen. Yes.
Oh, you're going through a trial, baby. Here, let me pray for you. The Lord deliver you from that trial. We pray, we spend more time praying against the will of God for people's life than we do anything else. Come on now, I feel the Holy Ghost here this morning. Sometimes we need to look at people. I remember I was going through a trial and I was having a hard time. I've never been through a harder trial in my life spiritually than I went through for 3 years, from 1998 to the year 2000. And I remember when Brother Barrett had a visiting minister, an aged minister, gray hair, great preacher, great man of God, solid as a granite piece of rock. And I come up to him after church, all whining and complaining. I'm going through hard times. I'm having to work long hours. And he looked at me and he said, it'll be okay, baby. I'll pray for you that the Lord will give you a better job. I'll pray for you that the Lord will give you better hours. It's not what he said. He said, well, brother, he said, sometimes it just is what it is. Sometimes the Lord calls you into a trial. Sometimes the Lord calls you. The Bible says that Jesus was led of the Spirit into the wilderness to fast for 40 days and to fight and wrestle with the devil himself. Oh, when he came out of that trial, when he came out of his 40 days of fasting, the Bible says he came out in the power of the Holy Ghost and he began to heal and raise the dead and work miracles. Oh, God said, take up your cross and follow me.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
We spend more time babying new believers, and we need to take them in. You know what they do at the beginning of the school year when we used to go to high school? The first thing that the gym instructor teacher would do, all you would do for the first week, every day when you went, it didn't matter if you ate breakfast or not. It didn't matter if your stomach hurt or not. It didn't matter if you were thirsty and hot or not. You would come out, get your gym clothes on, and when you walked out of the door of the locker room, you would start running. And you ran until he blew the whistle. And when he blew the whistle once, you did push-ups. And then you got up and went back to running. And then when he blew the whistle twice, you did sit-ups. And then you jumped back up and you started running again. And when he blew the whistle three times, then you did jumping jacks. And then you went back to running again. And when you're just about thinking you're going to keel over and die, he blows the whistle and everybody gets in the lines. And then you start doing push-ups and leg lifts and sit-ups and all this other kind of stuff. And he would do that for weeks at the beginning of the school year because he knew that we got fat and lazy and that we got weak and our muscles were flaccid. And so he would put us through the paces because he was going to bring us into some intramural sports. He was going to bring us in and let us play some games. And he knew that if we were weak, it'd be much more likely to get injured. That if we were weak, we wouldn't be able to perform well. He wanted to get us ready so we could enjoy the sports that he was going to let us play. But before he ever let us play those things, he put us through the test. He put us under pressure. And I'm here to tell you something, church. Amen. God is not calling you to an easy believing. So God is not calling us, amen, to an easy path. I mean, sometimes he doesn't ask us anything that's that hard. Sometimes it's just taking up the cross and opening up your Bible and saying, I'm going to read my daily Bible reading.
Absolutely.
We can't even get our daily Bible reading done, and we wonder why we're not seeing miracles. The Lord just said, just get up and pray for a minute. And just, you don't even have to say anything because I already know what you need before you ask. Just come and sit down here and let me talk to you. Tell you my will for your life today. Things that I'm going to do for you. And we can't even do that. We wonder why that we're not succeeding. We wonder why we're not seeing. We wonder why we're discouraged and depressed and downcast. Because it's all about us. And it's not about the cross of Jesus Christ. When you get your eyes off of the cross, then you become a cross person. And you can't stand yourself, and neither can anybody else. But when your eyes are on Jesus, and you see the blood coming off of his head and down his body and dripping on the ground, when your eyes are on Jesus, and you see him standing in the room with his disciples and saying to doubting Thomas, put your hands and touch the holes in my hands and feet. Put your hand into the hole in my side and see if it's me. When you've got your eyes on the resurrected Christ, you are a person, you are a follower, you are a bearer of the cross of Christ, and you are going to have joy in your heart, unspeakable joy and full of glory. How did those apostles manage to get the wherewithal and the fortitude to sing after they've been beaten, to sing after they've been thrown in prison, stocks and bonds? I'll tell you why. They didn't have their eyes on what was for supper. They didn't have their eyes on the blood that was coming out of the wounds in their backs. They had their eyes on the cross of Christ. Well, God forbid that I should glory in anything else.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Paul said, and if anybody has anything to glory of, I have that much more. Because I was a Pharisee of the most elite sect and training. I was the most zealous to persecute these heretics, followers of the way, these believers in this Jesus. I have been beaten untold number of times. I have been in shipwrecks. I have been stoned and left for dead. But God forbid I count all of those things but don't, that I might win Christ, that I may know him in the power of his resurrection and in the fellowship of the sufferings of his cross. Amen. The path of joy is not running away from the cross, but it's running to the cross.
Amen.
The path of joy is not running away from the cross, but it's running to it. Who for the joy that was set before him endured. Hallelujah. And it came out on the other side.
Yeah. Absolutely.
We are people of the cross.
Hallelujah.
Jesus said in Matthew chapter 10, verse 38, whoever does not take up their cross and follow me is not worthy of me. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing.
Right.
But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God.
Hallelujah.
Let's stand together, if you will, this morning, afternoon. On the other side of the cross, the Bible says in Matthew chapter 28, so the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid and yet filled with great joy, and ran to tell his disciples. You see, on the other side of the cross, there was great joy.
Yes. Right.
1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 9, Peter says this, Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, it's funny. We have so many crosses. We've got a cross up here. Here it is, folks, right here. You see it? And how many of you can see the cross this morning? How many of you can see it? We're taking this down and show you the cross. Look at that. Can you see it up there, folks? It's the cross. You can't come to church and not see the cross. We got it emblazoned on the back of our electric vehicles. People got it poked in their ears and hanging around their necks and tattooed on their hips and their biceps. We've got it hanging out on the steeples at the very highest point in our churches. And we come to church, we say, it's too hot in there. And over on the other side of the church, it's too cold in there. About froze to death. On the other side of the church, music is too loud. On the other side of the church, I couldn't hear. Why do we even have a cross up here if people aren't going to pay attention to what it means? Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let me tell you something. On the other side of that cross is what you're looking for.
That's right.
Amen.
Yeah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
You'll not find it on this side of the cross, only on the other side. You're not going to find yourself a biblical scholar and spiritual discerner and a great insider of the Word of God until you break it out and read it. You're not going to find it on this side of the cross. You're going to find it on the other side of the cross.
Right, yeah.
You're not going to see the move of God that you want to see until you crucify this flesh with its passions and its lusts to that old rugged cross right there. You're not going to find it on this side of the cross. You're going to have to go to the other side of the cross. Amen. To call yourself a Christian. To call yourself a person of the cross. You're going to have to go through it. You're going to have to carry it. You're going to have to bear it.
Jesus.
I want to go up in front of that church and cry and snot and make a fool of myself. And you'll never know the joy of forgiveness until you take up the cross of repentance.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Well, I don't want to dress up in my skivvies and go down in that water and be dunked in the water in front of everybody. I don't blame you. It's not one of the weirdest things that we do. But you're not going to have your sins washed away at this side of a baptismal tank. Only until you cross over to the other side. You're not going to take on the name of Jesus and become a member of His family and be known by God on this side of the baptistry. You're going to have to take up that cross and go on the other side of it. I don't want to speak in tongues. I don't want to dance and juke and jive and look like a fool. If you live a flaccid, deluded, discouraged walk with God, as long as you live, you'll never be sure where you stand with God. You'll never really know what it is to have power with God until you cross through that gift of the Holy Spirit, that promised gift. Crosses foolishness to those who are perishing, but to those who are saved, it is the power of God. Praise be to the God and Father of the Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In all this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little season, while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials, these have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold which perishes, even though refined by fire, even though it may result in praise and glory and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Joy is on the other side of the cross. Joy is on the other side of the trials. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. In his favor is life. And so we often quote, oh, that weeping may endure for a night, but in the morning time there's going to be joy. I don't know about you this morning, but I'm looking for the joy of the morning. I'm looking for a morning. Woo! Hallelujah. I'm looking for a dawning of the new day.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Got a cross on my back today, and I'm carrying it. I got a cross on my back today, and I'm feeling a little bit sore and tired and weary, but I got my eyes on the prize, and I'm pressing my way towards that prize. I got my eyes on Jesus. I know he's on the other side. Oh, I know he's in joy. I know he's in inexpressible joy. I know he's in the presence of the Father. I know that that place is reserved for me in his throne, because it says in Revelation, if I will endure, then I will sit down with Christ in his throne, as he has sat down with the Father in his throne. I don't know about you today, folks. I'm just quoting scripture. Y'all will go get quiet on me. I said, y'all don't go get quiet on me when I go to quote scripture. There is joy waiting on the other side of the cross. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Fix your eyes and thoughts on the cross of Christ. Consider him who endured such a contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you become wearied in your minds and faint. If you want to know where I'm going today, I'm going to joy. Say, what are you crying about? Well, I'm on my way to joy. Say, why are you sick? Well, I'm on my way to joy. Jesus is getting me ready for a great day. He was willing to take up his cross, and so am I. Because if he bore a cross to Calvary, cause salvation to pass on the whole entire world, if I bear my cross, there ain't no telling whose life is going to be touched. There ain't no telling what kind of miracles are going to happen. If I bear my cross, ain't no telling what God is going to call me to. I want to see the joy. I don't want to go through the troubles and trials of this life and miss out on the rewards at the end. I'm going to run like I'm going to win. I'm going to run so that I can win. I'm going to run so that I can win. I'm going to run like I expect to achieve. I'm going to run like I expect to win him, because I'm cross people. Let's lift our hands and give worship and praise to Jesus this morning. God forbid. You'll never hear me say what a great father I am. I just want to carry the cross of Christ. You'll never hear me say what a great husband I am, except in joking and making fun of myself. All I'm doing in those areas is falling forward best I can. You'll never hear me say I'm a great preacher or a great pastor, and you'll never hear me say I'm a great Christian. I'm just carrying the cross of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
All of those things mean nothing to me. I just want to be a cross people. My family is experiencing joy, not because I'm a great father or a great husband. My family is experiencing joy because I'm carrying the cross, and they're experiencing the joy as they walk with me through that door of the cross. I know we need to shut this party down, and I know we need to quit. I told myself I wasn't going to preach long today, but well, so much for that. Let's make a commitment to the Lord right now. If the Lord hasn't spoken to you by now, then you must be a saint.
Oh God, in your precious name.
But for all the rest of us ain'ts, let's make a commitment right now. Whatever the Lord spoke to you, that you are going to pursue that cross until you reach the joy on the other side. Come on, let's make a commitment, if you haven't already, that you're going to pursue the cross of Christ until you come out on the other side of the joy. Stop it. Let's make a commitment right now. We're going to stop trying to avoid what God is calling us to because we don't like what He's calling us through. Sometimes that's just the way it is. But you're not alone. You can do this. You're not the first one that's gone down this path. You're not the first one that's been in this furnace. You're not the first one that's been in this den of lions. God's going to take you on the other side, just as He's taken all those before you that have gone through the same things. We're going to have victory in Jesus. Let's sing that song, that old hymn song, Victory in Jesus, My Savior Forever. Boy, that doesn't make the worship team mad. Well, victory in Jesus.